seconds left. Parsons, Lynn, Parsons to Tyler. Yes! He knocked it down. Unbelievable. Here's Dwight in deep. Hook shot is good. That's the danger zone when Dwight gets it in that deep, and D12 gets the big bucket. The Lakers are going to go to San Antonio. Get the win ready for Los Angeles. Final score, 99-95, and the Lakers end the regular season the seventh seed in the West.
Seven's pretty good for where we were. We shouldn't have been in that spot in the first place, so it's our fault. But at the same time, there's no difference between 8, 7, 6, and 5. You don't have home court, and that's just the way it is, and we'll have to go to San Antonio and win one. It's not like I've gone to San Antonio and dominated any time that I remember. They've been killing me for years, so it is what it is, and we'll take it. And I'm just glad. And our whole objective was not who was there. It was just get in the front door and win and got a victory out and keep working and getting better, and we did that.
Okay, what a finish of the regular season for the Los Angeles Lakers. Justin Akery in the Fury Electric studio, joined by Phil Elson, who is Mr. Baseball, but we do have to talk hoops because the NBA playoff scenario is now set. Phil, welcome back.
I missed it.
I missed you. A special Thursday game ball to Pau Gasol. Very impressive, Pau Gasol last night. 17, 20, and 11 assists if you need him. Also, a little Steve Blake, the little point guard that could. 24 points, a 99-95 overtime victory for the Lakers. Sliding past Houston for the seventh seed, so a team that looked like they would maybe not get into the playoffs whatsoever end up as the seventh seed. And you heard Mike D'Antoni coming into the show today. There's no difference between 5, 6, 7, 8 because, you know, you don't get home court advantage. Well, we all know that's baloney because anybody who has half a brain, as I do, would rather play Oklahoma City later rather than earlier and much rather take on the Spurs than Oklahoma City right now. Tony Parker's not 100%. The Spurs certainly a very good team, but I think everybody would rather play Oklahoma City at this point. Don't you think that's fair?
Makes sense to me. I don't want to mess around with a team that's already won championships before.
Or been in the championship game, at least.
Yeah.
Now, well, I mean, you're playing a team that's won championships before, but it's been a while. Versus a team that was on the verge of winning a championship last year.
A much older version of the team that's won that championship.
Precisely. And a different kind of team and maybe a little better matchup for the Lakers. So, anyway, I guess if, you know, and a lot of people aren't giving Oklahoma City a whole lot of credit either because of the fact that, you know, they've lost some key pieces from last year. And one of them, of course, now plays for Houston. So here are your matchups now. Oklahoma City and Houston will play against each other. An interesting first-round matchup, of course, with Harden now on the Rockets. The Heat and the Bucks, the number 1 versus number 8 over in the East. We'll go run through the rest of the West, then we'll look at the East. Spurs and Lakers, as we know, first game is Sunday. It's an ABC game at 2:30. Nuggets and Warriors, probably the least, it will be the least watched or one of the least watched matchups, but it could be one of the most entertaining matchups in the first round, if not the most.
Why is it the least watched?
Just because of the size of the markets. I'm sorry, I'm saying as far as TV ratings go.
Mm-hmm.
Clippers and Grizzlies, I guess that may have a little iffy too. Memphis is not one of the larger markets in the NBA, but certainly a team that has played they've been very consistent this year, very solid all through the season. Clippers and Grizzlies, and that is a game where the Clippers as the 4 seed will have the home court advantage. First game there is Saturday at 9:30 in the evening, and that's on ESPN. Over in the East, the other matchups, in addition to Milwaukee and Miami, the Knicks and the Celtics. Knicks is the 2 seed. Pacers and Hawks, and the Brooklyn Nets and the Chicago Bulls. The Nets are the 4 seed, Bulls 5 seed. That should be a very good matchup. I like the Pacers a lot.
I keep hearing that.
We've talked about the Pacers many times, I think, over the season. I mean, they're a team they're the young team that hasn't broken through yet. They're more physical than Oklahoma City. They don't maybe do some things as well as Oklahoma City, but they're the young team that hasn't broken through. They got so many nice pieces, and they've been consistently solid. They've given Miami fits at times, so that's a team that you think you look at if they can get through, you know, a series or two, get to the conference finals, could give Miami fits. So
what classifies as giving Miami fits? Winning a game?
Winning a couple games, yeah. I mean, again, you never know. I mean, look, Kobe had a freak injury the other day, and I don't want to. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But I mean, if things happen,
that's what it feels like. It's reduced to, though. You know, it feels like, well, unless somebody breaks an ankle, you know, the Heat at least in the finals again.
Well, I commend the Lakers.
They are that much better than everybody else.
Should be. And most people I've read, actually, somebody I heard today said that they expect the Spurs to get in ahead of the Thunder. Spurs and Heat in the finals would be kind of interesting. Okay, so something I saw today that did surprise me, what happened last night on the court didn't really surprise me that much, but the most loyal fans in basketball, which team do you think has the most loyal fans in basketball? This is not one I would have guessed.
I mean, this is a survey? This is some scientific survey?
This is from Forbes. Pretty solid outlet for journalism, I would say.
You know, I think of two markets, really, when I think of the maybe three markets. I'm thinking of Portland, I'm thinking of Utah, and I'm thinking of San Antonio.
Okay, San Antonio might have been on my list. I would not have had the other two. I definitely would have had Boston.
Portland maybe used to be, and maybe I'm thinking back, you know, in the days of the 90s and the last decade when they sold out every game.
Drexler, Kersey, those teams, Duckworth.
Even teams after that, but I think that, yeah, you know, there's been a little bit of a separation between the passion and the people that kind of just don't pay attention now.
The most loyal fans in basketball, according to this Forbes list, reside in Miami.
Miami. All of a sudden.
Johnny come lately. It's the most loyal fans over the last year.
Hmm.
The Sports Fan Loyalty Index.
Yeah, and Alabama has the most loyal fans in college football, I'm sure.
So the top five are Miami, San Antonio, the Knicks, the Celtics, and a tie for fifth between the Thunder and the Nets.
How do you figure this out?
I don't know. I don't even know what they base it on.
Well, it's Forbes, you know. It's whatever. Must be a very reputable survey.
Must have something to do with revenue if it's a Forbes thing.
Who sells the most jerseys?
Maybe that has something to do with it.
I never liked the idea of deciding who's popular based upon jersey sales.
Doesn't hurt.
I mean, it's a factor.
Maybe not the best way. It's not the worst way.
It's only part of it.
The Bobcats, the Kings, the Timberwolves, the Wizards, and the Cavaliers, the worst fans in the league, according to this survey. And they were all towards the bottom last year as well. So, you know, I guess if we win a lot, there's a lot. So basically what I'm getting is this. The NBA may be the biggest front-running league in the entire country.
New York has great basketball fans. Well, I mean, the people show up, you know, at Madison Square Garden, and that's a basketball city. It really is.
They are, but they also went from 10th last year to number 3 this year. They weren't very good, or they weren't as good last year, though there was some hype. They couldn't get all their pieces healthy at the same time. It was the Jeremy Lin breakout year. Carmelo had his moments. They had some, you know, Amare, but they couldn't get everybody healthy, it seems like, at the same time. And when they did, there wasn't a whole lot of cohesion. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like we saw with the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers have played great the last couple games without Kobe. Some people might say that Dwight Howard is playing better without Kobe.
It took that to wake up.
Yeah. Or maybe the fact that, you know, maybe that the fact that Kobe is a guy who gets 35 shots a game hurts him. You know, we talk a lot about Carmelo. He may impact negatively on the offensive end his own teammates because of the fact that he's a ball stopper, and he's, I don't want to call him a ball hog, but he certainly commands more of the attention offensively,
yeah,
and demands more shots than anybody.
I mean, that is one thing about the game of basketball. You know, when one shot taken by one player is a shot that wasn't taken by somebody else.
If you went in today, we will talk about things besides the NBA, of course. Major League Baseball, I have an issue with Lance Berkman. I will talk about that. Special Thursday game ball to A.J. Burnett. Fantastic performance last night, flirting with a no-hitter into the seventh inning.
Yeah.
He wasn't flirting with it. He was straight up making out with a no-hitter until the seventh inning. And then, of course, a hit knocked him out of the game, but gives up one hit in seven innings or whatever. I guess he got through six and a third or whatever. And pretty good performance by A.J. Burnett.
To still have stuff that explosive, you know, at what is he 36, 37? I mean, goodness, at that age to be able to still have something that, because he's always been a power pitcher from the start, a guy that, you know, has this big delivery and it's tough to be able to keep that kind of stuff into your, you know, ancient days as a pitcher. But goodness, he's still as dominant. He can be as dominating as he was, you know, back 12 years ago.
Speaking of baseball, a fan on our Facebook page, I'm told, asking Phil Elson, will the Travs play tonight?
Aha. There's the big question for anybody that's a baseball fan in Central Arkansas.
Well, it's a big story today anyway. We will keep you up on the severe weather. That or the weather service, the National Weather Service, will keep you up and jump over the top of us.
I didn't draw a rain turtle today. I don't want to rain out.
What's a rain turtle? Is that like a some sort of
It's
an like, invitation of the gods to pour on you?
It's a baseball legend. You know, sometimes you actually want a rain out. You know, the rare times. And there's a way to coax the baseball gods into seeding the clouds and getting it to rain.
Why don't you just invite Crash over and have him turn on the sprinklers at night?
Well, then there's the other way, and that gets you kicked out of baseball. A rain turtle just gets you stared at, and then you get the question.
Yeah.
Are you, what's wrong with you?
I don't think you're going to need a rain turtle, although you may want some sort of hard protective shell around you tonight if things go the way we think they might today. Riverfest will be here before you know it. Deanna's going to come in the studio about 10:45 today, and we will visit with her about Riverfest. Also, we have some charity talk with Megan Collins from Our House. There's an event coming up on April 18th, which is like today, right? Roughly. It's right around today. There's an event tonight. Hopefully the weather will not impact that. Had a record in the NBA last night set. We'll talk some horse racing, and we have a new song from the man responsible for Gangnam Style. You're able to find that online? Well, I think I can speak for everyone. I say thank you so much.
It's very similar to the last hit he had.
Every song he ever does is going to be similar to the last hit he had because, A, it's formulaic. B, it's sort of, you know, it's that computer-generated type music. Yeah. So.
And this one must also come with, a dance that everybody's going to do.
He actually used a lot of the same moves in the video that he used in the first one. It's a little bit, if you're a sensitive woman or if you are sensitive about the way men treat women, it's a little bit offensive at different points through the video. Did you find that?
I thought it was funny.
It was there. Of course you did, because you're sick. But there were some
points. He pulls chairs out from
It was kind of stupid. I don't know. The song is
definitely
called.
Definitely stupid.
The song is called Gentleman.
It's anyway. On your entertainment page.
Okay. We'll
a song
we'll,
called Gentleman that's going to be offensive to some women.
I know. I think it's ironic.
Hmm.
He's everything but. So, anyway. I don't know. I've tolerated Psy, but it is what it is. I'd much rather have Psy from Duck Dynasty than Psy, the Asian performer. Let's get Stephen Conway in. Steve, welcome. How are you?
Hey, gentlemen. I got a couple of things. First off, I was actually going to I called in to mention, you know, I'm not a Laker hater, but I was really hoping the Jazz would win and the Lakers lose just to have some of these guys that I know are diehard Laker fans. I mean, when you know, not get the playoffs, when you buy the roster that they had and to put the product out there that they did was just pathetic, in my opinion. Second thing, Your Forbes magazine thing. I guess since I just got married on 3 weeks ago, Ben's health now has me as the most loyal husband of the year.
Yeah,
because I've been married for 3 weeks, so I'm the most loyal husband in Central Arkansas. So I just want to put that out there to my lovely wife that I'm the most loyal husband, rated by Men's Health magazine editor in chief Steve. And then also, thank you for getting back to sports instead of. I really like Frank. He's a good guy, but I'm glad Frank Fletcher. But I'm glad we're not having the butt kissing all another 4 hours long on this show. Justin, you've got a great program. I love it, and this is the reason why from 10 to 1 I listen to this show.
I appreciate that. It would be hard for me to do 4 hours of butt kissing in 3 hours.
I've been a co-host of yours now for a couple of months. I am the most loyal co-host.
You are, ever. It is interesting, though, when you look at success and failure or lack of success and how it impacts the quote-unquote loyalty. I'd also like to find out, maybe if you look this up, you can figure out exactly what drives this and how they determine who's loyal and who isn't. But Miami won the championship last year, I'm sure, right?
Yes.
They went from 6-1, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense to me. The Spurs were number one last year. They dropped to number two, so, you know, it's 6-1, 7 of the other. So close enough on that. The Knicks, not as good last year, much better this year. And they had the scoring champion. They go from 10-1, or 10-3, rather. Makes sense to me. The Celtics dropped only from 2nd to 4th, despite the fact that they traded, well, they lost one of their players in free agency, one of the most popular players on the team, and they're not as good. They're a 7 seed this year. And then the Nets and the Thunder. The Thunder at 5, they were 5 last year, so they're right where they should be. And the Nets move from 14 up to 5. Partially, you know, of course, they had a change of address, and Jay-Z's involved. And they have a very wealthy billionaire Russian owner, which is interesting. Bobcats were 30 last year. Bobcats are 30 this year. Kings were 29 last year. Kings are 29 this year.
Timberwolves are going to lose their team.
Timberwolves are 28 last year or 27 last year. They're 28 this year. The Wizards 26 last year, 27 this year. They should go back to the Bullets. And the Cleveland Cavaliers were 22 last year, 26 this year.
How many championships have those last five teams ever won?
Bobcats, none. Kings, none. They did get to the finals.
Once.
They get to the finals or the Western Conference
finals?
The
finals.
They lost to the Lakers.
Conference finals.
Yeah, they lost to they were called the Queens.
The Peja days.
When, Peja, and they had Vlade, and Shaq was calling them the Queens. Good times.
Right.
Timberwolves have never won anything. I was at a Timberwolves playoff game once when Garnett was still there. They lost. The Wizards have never, I don't think, won anything in years.
I think the Bullets might have won in the 70s 1 year.
Wes Unseld days?
Yeah, I think it was 1 year.
Cleveland Cavaliers, well, we know their history. The fact that they even made it to a finals is amazing.
My point is that it's really easy to be loyal to a team when they give you championships.
Well, we also talked about, we had Craig Elo on. We're hopefully going to get him on again next week. The former Cavalier, who is one of the most famous guys. Unfortunately for him, partially because Michael Jordan hit the big shot to win a playoff game over him.
He's always been graceful about that, though.
He's awesome. He was so fantastic when we had him on earlier in the year. But that, to me, was one of the best teams never to get into the finals. They had Doherty, Price, him, Larry Nance. I mean, they had a lot of great players on that team that did not even get to a finals.
Yeah, Doherty could never stay healthy. He was a college teammate of Michael Jordan, wasn't he?
No, that's the other Doherty.
Oh, okay. That's Brad Doherty.
Yeah, Brad Doherty is he's a great NASCAR commentator, which is really
strange.
Yeah,
How did a guy like that fit in a NASCAR?
I don't have any idea. It's all good.